It's on. Look, it's on.
Oh, it's on.
It is so on.
Pull up a chair, grab a cold one, smoke them if you got them. It's time for the Fan Happy Hour.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
All right, we got it, ladies and gentlemen. It is Happy Hour. We made it. The bonus hour is over. Big thanks to Dusty for sitting in with me on that. We'll do that the next couple of days. Jeff Rust, how are you feeling about the first ever episode of the Happy Hour? I know we threw a lot at you.
Yeah, doing great. Finally getting caught up. Got the podcast from the firm up and just
there you go.
Sitting here trying to get in some of the elements that you sent my way. And
well, yeah. so
it won't all be this hectic. So it's just today's the first day. Well, you know, speed bumps and such.
Yeah, today very hectic. So the part of the idea of this show in this hour is going to be, we'll keep it fast paced. We're going to try to hit stories. We're going to try to have fun with it. We're going to have some jokes. We're going to do whatever we've got, but we're gonna move through it pretty quickly. Part of that hinges on having the opportunity to kind of set things up. So having the Ducks Happy or the Ducks Insider Show before Happy Hour allows you and I to kind of connect and go, all right, let's frame out the show.
Yes.
Today, we didn't get a chance to do that. Yeah. You're also doing the first episode of The Firm, getting that rolling. We're on FM, so we have all these changes. So if today goes haywire, it's entirely your fault.
Yeah, so I'm used to that.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. As long as you and I are in communication with that, so nothing has changed. But I used the metaphor. This show, I'll be the lounge singer, and you'll be the pianist. You'll be hitting the keys and kind of making it go through. So we've got a lot of imaging. There's going to be some misfires. Don't feel bad about it. It's going to be great. But you know, I don't think there's a better way to start our first ever Happy Hour than with the news that we got last week and the press conference we had last night. Damian Lillard is making his way back to the Rose City. And the first thought that I had when that press conference started, you have all of this conversation about everybody that is upset that Dame is coming back when he left us and it feels like we've been jilted. How does this work from a basketball standpoint? He's not even going to play this. You were paying a guy not to play. It doesn't fit with the timeline. All of the challenges that everybody had with it. You forgot how good that dude is in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
He gets up in front of the audience, and Dame just has a certain presence and a control of the room where he's going to say all the right things.
Yeah.
And there is rarely a better ambassador for a team and for a city. And the reason that Dame had all of the endorsements that he did, the reason that he had all of the respect that he had from the rest of the NBA.
Yeah.
Is the way that he carries himself. Yeah. Yes, he's a great player, and obviously all of this comes as a package deal, but the press conference just reminded me that this guy gets it.
Yeah, he is an approachable superstar.
Yeah, he's got a down to earth, which kind of fits what Portland needs from their superstar. You don't have somebody that's aloof like you had with LaMarcus Aldridge. Mm-hmm. You don't have somebody that is distant and living in another city like Clyde Drexler was, always had one foot out the door and ready to go.
Right.
The all-in Dame to Portland, it coagulated yesterday, right? It felt like the right fit. There's going to be this very odd offshoot when you look back at Dame's numbers at the end of his career. He's already the all-time leading scorer in Portland. Mm-hmm. But when you go back and look back at his career and go, oh yeah, he did 2 years in Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the things that he said was, I miss having the young guys around. And it felt like, you know, the timelines were shifting where it made sense that he has to leave. He gets to a point where it's like, hey, you can't bring in the third overall pick at my position, expect me to be cool with it.
Right.
I want to win a championship. We're not close to that. I wanna leave because of all of the other things that are going on. We've heard all about those. We've talked about them ad nauseum. It made sense that he left, but him coming back, it just kind of feels right. And if he's going to adopt this role of, the way Chauncey said it, the highest paid assistant coach in the league.
Yes.
If he's going to be sharing his wisdom that he's collected over a, you know, decade plus of playing in the NBA to these young guys and really be all in on that, I'm an optimist at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I watch the Blazers, Will Darkins and I had fights about this on air, tooth and nail.
Yeah.
it's very easy to be pessimistic about sports. Every year you've got 30 teams that start in the NBA, 29 of them lose. So if you pick that your team won't win a championship, guess what? You're probably right.
Exactly.
And you're going to be right almost every time.
Yep.
Being optimistic is, for some people, probably a lot harder. But for me, it always makes sense to kind of lean that direction. And I feel like last night solidified it. You with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, fantastic. Here's the problem.
Okay.
From a basketball standpoint, I tried to go through, being optimistic, I tried to go through and find the guys that have had 85, 90% of themselves after an Achilles injury.
Okay.
Okay, so I went through and I kind of looked at, now, some of these aren't all going to be negative. I think everybody remembers Kobe and his last 3 years after the Achilles injury. He was 34, close to the same age as Dame. He goes down. He's not the same person. Chauncey Billups went through a Achilles injury, played one season after that, was half of what he was before from a production standpoint. It's pretty easy to point to that. The couple guys that make you feel a little bit optimistic, a couple guys that are playing right now, one is KD.
Yeah, that's kind of a big one.
KD was only 30 when his Achilles was torn. Mm-hmm. But I look at it and I go, if a guy with that size and that kind of length can come back from it, that gives me some hope. The other one, I don't know if people are paying that much attention to, Klay Thompson's still averaging 16.5 points per game post-injury. Also 30 when he had the injury.
Right.
But that gives me a little bit of optimism as well. So I feel like if you're trying to find a little bit of a silver lining, if you can get, that's, I mean, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson are at like 85, 90% of what they were.
I would say, I mean, KD's probably 95% of what he was. The Klay is probably closer to 80.
Yeah. I mean, you have to remember that KD was in another stratosphere. So his points production have gone down a little bit and he's still got a 7-foot wingspan.
Right.
So he can go out there and do some things that Dame won't be able to do.
Yes.
Here's the two names that really surprised me that were on this list. Remember that Dominique Wilkins tore his Achilles?
That's right.
He had an Achilles tear after playing for 12 years, played 7 more years. Mm-hmm. Little bit of a drop-off, but he was still greatness. Yeah. That was in 1992.
But yeah, so afterwards he was more of a role player, and that was, I don't remember exactly how many years he played in San Antonio.
I don't have the basketball reference pulled up, but you still have a guy that averaged 17.5 points post Achilles tear in 1992. People point to Kobe and go, look how much medicine has improved since Kobe.
Yeah.
Dominique tore his in the 1990s. Nirvana was number one when he tore his Achilles, and he was able to work his way back and make a big impact in the NBA. The other one going outside of sports, there's a couple recently in football that I think show pretty good signs. Mm-hmm. Richard Sherman tore his Achilles playing one of the hardest positions in sports, where you are not just have to run at top speed, you have to move on somebody else's movement every single time. He tore his Achilles in 2017, ended up playing for the 49ers, made a Pro Bowl in 2019. That's a pretty good one. Terrell Suggs had a very quick recovery, played another 7 years, half of his career post-Achilles. Mm-hmm. But the other one is 1993, Dan Marino.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, listen, unless my internet is different than yours, you can go up and pull it up. But I've got him playing 10 years pre Achilles. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. It was 1993, but he tore his.
Yeah.
Came back, finished up a Hall of Fame career, and didn't have significant drop-off. Yeah. Now,
he was always kind of a statue anyway.
Well, I was going to say, the athleticism doesn't always translate, but that's where you go back to Dame's knowledge of the game and being able to kind of understand the way it works. Mm-hmm. You just hope that he still has enough quickness to find his spots, but if he's willing to go and spot up, I think we found enough optimism for Dame. Does that work? Is everybody excited about this? Do I have you all on board? All the naysayers go away.
You've got me. I dove down a little bit of a Dominique rabbit hole. So you said it was 92?
No, I've got 1992 is what I found.
So in the 91-92 season, he played basically half the season. He played 42 games.
And there's
games.
The injury.
And then the 92-93, he played 71 games. Came back 29.9, almost 30 points a game.
Well,
like the immediate next season. The next year after that, the 93-94 season, traded from Atlanta to the Clippers, where, with Atlanta, he was just under 25 points a game, with the Clips at 29 points a game. 94-95, he played for the Celtics, 18 points a game. 95-96, he played in another pro league or did not play that season.
Okay.
Yeah, 1996-97 for the Spurs, 18.2 points a game. 97-98, did not play. And then 98-99, 27 games with the Orlando Magic, averaging 5 points a game.
Age always wins, but if there's anybody that has a work ethic in the regiment, I mean, you look at Dame and his boxing off season. You know, this is a guy that we can be optimistic about, I think. So the presser put some new revived spirit in me, and I hope it did the same for you. Yeah. All right, we're going to try something.
Putting in the effort and the work also will not be a problem for Damian Lillard.
Well, that's what I mean. A guy with that work ethic.
He's a sicko like that.
Yeah. So we've got faith in it. So we're going to try something. This is going to be a bit we're going to do here on Happy Hour. And Mr. Rust, I'm going to need you to give me some sort of late night intro. We're going to try a segment we used to do on the Sinner and the Saint way back. We're going to pull back something we call In Case You Missed It. So go ahead and give me a late night intro like you're Ed McMahon, my friend.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, you're catching me off guard here.
I know. I wanted to. I thought it'd be more fun to see what your immediate reaction to this
would be. So coming up on the other side of the break, there's Mr. Anderson.
Oh, we're going to do it right here. We don't need
to. Oh, we're doing it right here?
Break. Yeah.
I thought it was break time.
Oh, all right. Let's do the break.
Okay.
And we'll try to do it before the break.
That's
next
my
time.
Job is to keep you on the clock.
Yeah. Well, hey,
attention.
You're doing a great job. Right after the break, we'll do In Case You Missed
all
It.
Loose during happy hour.
Hey, well, hey, that's what we're supposed to do, my friend. We will start the Daily Buzz next with In Case You Missed It. This is 105.1 The Fan.
Top headlines, trending topics, and trivial matters that got our attention. It's the Daily Buzz on The Fan Happy Hour.
The Buzz.
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 Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
All right, we're going to try to keep this segment as a quick hitter. The plan is to try to get to as many topics as we can, but we still got to get to those In Case You Missed It jokes. So we're already behind the clock. It's the first show. I'm not too worried about it, Mr. Russ. You want to try a little In Case You Missed It? We'll try it on, see how it works.
Sure.
All right, let's give it a try. How about that late night intro for me, and we'll go with that, and then we'll roll into these.
Here we go with coming up next here on the Fan Happy Hour. As I am,
you're winging this. Just I'm go. Terrible. Here's Luke
Just
Anderson, brother.
Here's former stand-up comedian turned Pizza Hut executive, Luke Anderson.
Yeah, there you go. And then you've got your laugh tracks already, my friend?
Yeah.
All right, so Jeff Russ is now in charge of trying to convey how the audience will react. So if you don't agree with his, feel free to hit us on the fan text line. But we're going to try to get you these jokes. In case you missed it, Donald Trump is threatening to hold up the Washington Commanders' new stadium in Washington, D.C. unless the team goes back to their old mascot. Scott, kind of feels like your drunk uncle is now president, doesn't it? All right, first thing that we do, get rid of all the immigrants. B, bring back the Redskins.
Yeah.
And four,
all the racist nicknames.
And four, get me another beer. Doesn't it feel like that? Well, you're just laughing. You're not even using the sound effects. I love it, my friend. Oh, you like that joke. Have you seen the new Jim Harbaugh images of him peeking through the tarps?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
So, and his comments that went along with it.
I didn't read the comments, but instead of just training his football team, also training the next Connor Stallions. How about that?
Connor Stallions.
Yeah. Oh, no. What were the comments that you got from Jim Harbaugh that you liked better, my friend?
The scenes of him peeking out through the tarp, and it said how basically training camp feels like coming out of the womb.
Oh!
Yes, and then that accompanied him peeking through the tarp.
You like that better than the Connor Stallions? Come on. How to spy on a team? Can you just imagine that they get caught for spying this year?
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. All right. Let's try this joke and see how you like this one. In case you missed it, the Bengals offseason has not been going great. First-round draft pick Shamar Stewart is holding out because the rookie offer has some strange language in the contract. Now, Trey Hendrickson is not going to report to camp because he's waiting for extension. If you thought Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase were great last year, wait till this season when they play defense as well. Boy, that is an absolute disaster. I don't want to root for the Bengals. Like, I don't really have much desire to root for the Bengals, but last year, what they were able to do on offense with the seventh worst defense, which doesn't even explain how bad they were, because they started the absolute worst and were getting better and trying to make that playoff run. Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase have made them must-watch television. Can we please get the cheapest team in the NFL to at least pretend that they care?
Well, yeah, the biggest part of it is, too, is it's they don't want to pay him like most everybody else in the league gets paid. Yeah. All he's they're offered. They're only offering guarantee on the first year of his deal, whereas most of them they're guaranteed. Most deals these days they're guaranteeing 3 years.
Yep.
Yeah. So this doesn't seem like rocket surgery here to me, but
no, you've got a guy that has more sacks than Myles Garrett and the Bosa brothers in the last couple years, and you're just going to be like, no, we don't want to take any effort. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Steelers are locking up their edge rusher, and the Bengals are locking up their vending machines.
Exactly.
Oh, hey, that one worked. I'm catching him off guard. It's working. All right. In case you missed it, 40-year-old Chris Paul is joining the Clippers, a team that already has 37-year-old Brooke Lopez. Patty Mills and Nick Batum are 36. 35-year-old James Harden will be playing. 34-year-old Kawhi Leonard, who is often injured, won't be playing. After watching the Thunder and the Pacers match up in the finals as two of the youngest teams in NBA history to make the finals, where the rest of the league zigs, the Clippers break a hip.
I'm falling. And I can't get up.
No. Anything else?
That's probably their New Jersey sponsor.
Their New Jersey sponsor is actually Werther's Original. No, I mean,
I don't. So I gotta go back and forth between my pages.
I know.
Here.
Hey, listen.
It's all a thing. We're a work in progress.
We're practicing. We're figuring it out as we go. No, I mean, this Clippers thing, I mean, do they really think this is the way forward? I mean, I have often said that there is one team that ever looks like they have a good plan in the NBA, and that's the team that wins. Mm-hmm. It looks like the Pacers got close, and next year they're going to have no Tyrese Haliburton, they lost Miles Turner. It's going to be really difficult for them to get back. OKC is the only team that you look at and go, yeah, that makes sense. I know a lot of people like Kevin Durant to the Rockets, and they think that that's the missing piece. But every time Kevin Durant goes to a team that hasn't just won the championship, it's been a disaster.
Yeah.
So I don't have a whole ton of faith in that. But whatever the Clippers are trying to figure out to me just feels like a big miss.
I think I saw six players over the age of 33.
Yeah, their starting lineup, if they go with Chris Paul, James Harden, Nick Batum, Kawhi Leonard, and Brooke Lopez, their average starter will be 36 years old. I mean,
that's old.
Yeah, teams do not win. And there's this youth movement in the league. It's going to be absolutely ugly. But, I mean, if you can't trust a team with a winning pedigree like the Clippers, who can you trust? Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right, let's... we'll figure out the sound effects. I promise we'll get it all figured out. Let's see. What else do we got here? All right. Let's do this one, and this will kind of lead us into our next segment. If you were not watching baseball last night, you missed the Phillies and Red Sox games. And this was quite the 10th inning. So it's tied 2-2. Red Sox are the road team. They start the first batter off with a walk. They already have the automatic runner on second. Next pitch is a wild pitch, advances both runners to second and third. Then they intentionally walk the next batter. Then the Phillies walk off with a catcher's interference for the second time in MLB history. The Red Sox managed to lose a game without a single ball being put in play. Red Sox baseball, catch the fever. Or don't. Just wait there, and the fever will catch you. It doesn't matter. Exactly. Do whatever you want. This one is insane. The Phillies, I don't know if you remember this, earlier this season, the Phillies are playing the Giants, were walked off with an inside-the-park grand slam.
Yes.
Technically scored as a three-run home run because they did not need the final run to get in. But a catcher walks them off with an inside-the-park home run. Now they just win a game where they are walked off on a catcher's interference. This is happening twice ever in Major League Baseball. That's how rare this is. They did not even have a stat for how many runs were scored by catcher's interference.
Man.
The only time it even registers is when it wins a game.
That's bananas. And Danny and Dusty had always said, too, anytime you mention a first in baseball, it's amazing. They've been playing that game for 150 years.
Well, and they keep every stat.
Yeah.
Everything is that. The one of the more elegant things in sports is the baseball scorebook. You can go back and see everything that happens and just from which direction the K is to see how people struck out and do everything and keeping those. I had a friend that his dad would keep a scorebook when he would take these kids to the game. Uh-huh. So then they would have it and go, here's the exact score of the game, the first game that you went to at, the Kingdom, or we went to San San Francisco, and here's the scorebook of the game. I always thought that was really cool. I was too lazy to do it with my kids,
right?
But that was really cool. And so, the walk-off catcher's interference last night, in case you missed it, was great. So what we're going to do on this show is third segment of each show. So the 2:30, we are going to do some audio. So we'll do that. But first, we'll take a walk over to the sports desk, and you can tell me what we missed there in the Daily Buzz.
And here we go.
It's Tuesday on the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson.
You might not want to let your children watch this.
Time for play-by-playback.
Gary Newton is the greatest corn dogger ever.
Real game calls, real reactions, and one big question.
Is that a corn dog in your pocket?
Oh yeah. That's my practice dog, sorry.
Almost went. 2-2.
Hopefully catches interference on a take. He hits the glove.
That came to us on NESN last night. We were talking about it before the break. The Phillies winning on a walk-off catcher's interference after starting extra innings with the ghost runner and then a walk and an intentional walk and a hit by... Anyway.
It was a mess.
Yes.
Here's the thing. It's not a ghost runner. It's an automatic runner. The ghost runner is when you have to leave second base and go... There's an imaginary person there. I have to go hit the wiffle ball now. It's not a ghost runner. Anybody that uses that term is wrong, and you, sir, are wrong. Go ahead with your question.
So we keep having these weird things that have only happened once or twice in all of baseball, but it seems like they're happening more frequently lately.
Well, yeah, this is an interesting one because there's a lot of people that are kind of opposed to the robot umpires. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that it will actually solve is there's kind of an epidemic of catcher's interference in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. You would see 20 or so of these in a season. As of 2023, you're seeing it up near almost 100 instances. And this one obviously cost the Red Sox a game.
Yeah.
But what's happening is catchers are being so aggressive framing pitches and going and trying to move their glove over to an advantageous position, getting closer to the batter. There's been a lot more of these. And catchers are getting paid for it. The guys that are really good at it are being rewarded. So catchers don't necessarily want the robot umps, but if you want less weird things to happen in baseball, one of the things that's causing all of these once-in-a-lifetime things is people looking for the slimmest of margins to win the game. So if you like this, you're against robot umps. If you'd rather see games not decided on catcher's interference, maybe we have to embrace some technology, ladies and gentlemen.
Superman hitting a ball in the air to center field. The starting pitcher hits a monster home run. He is out of this world.
That comes to us from Sportsnet LA. Shohei Ohtani, the starting pitcher last night for the Dodgers, gave up a home run to Byron Buxton in the first half of the inning. In the second half, or the bottom half of the inning, he comes back and hits a home run to take the lead at 2-1.
That is a perfectly appropriate question, Jeff Russ. I had the pleasure of going to Fenway Park to watch a baseball game, and I did not care who the opponent was. Mm-hmm. Our friends at Odyssey Boston were nice enough to get me tickets, and just to see Fenway is one of the things that is absolutely awesome. One of the other marvels that I got to see that one day was Shohei Ohtani pitching because the Angels were in town. That is a giant human being.
Large.
But the numbers don't always do it justice. 6'5", 260. You see somebody that is that way in the world, they are round in the middle, or they are completely vertical. This dude is squared off shoulders, like a triangle on the top.
Yeah.
Like it is the sketch drawing of like the ideal man. And some people were asking the question, like, if he's hitting this well, why even bring him back to pitch? This is the reason.
Yeah.
Yes, he gives up the home run, but having that competitive fire where a guy goes in there, and I don't know if you remember why the best player on all your sports teams was the best player.
Yeah.
Usually it's because they were psycho.
Yeah.
And when you grow up playing as many sports as I did, I was very rarely the best player, but it was partly because I was not insane.
Yeah.
The idea that we all, if I could be Tom Brady. Well, you can't be. That dude is crazy. If I could be Wayne Gretzky. No, that guy, there's something different in his brain.
Yeah.
Not only is Shohei Ohtani an absolute physical freak, I think this is what makes it really fun to see what he does, where he can go and turn it around and flip the bat to the other side and just go, all right, sorry I let one out. Up, guys. Let me go out and hit another one. And the other thing that we'll probably see happen here in the city of Portland is having an international star, and I don't know if Young Hanson will become that. Mm-hmm. Shohei Ohtani is the most popular baseball player in the world.
Yes.
And I don't think we realize the magnitude of it being, you know, just here in Portland, Oregon. But in L.A. he's huge, in Japan he's huge, across Asia, across the world, they're getting a lot of attention. And already selling 3 million Young Hanson jerseys for the Blazers. Yeah. It is going to look very, very different. I remember going to a spring training game to try to watch Ichiro. And he did not play. The amount of disappointment there was on the bluff out in Surprise, Arizona, or wherever we were, of people that came just to see Ichiro. Mm-hmm. And he's still an international star. I think it's fantastic. And Shohei Ohtani is worth every penny they spent.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt 6 games last year. Seriously. We've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out 2/3 of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
So, Jera, making the unprecedented move, and quite illogical move of basically talking S about his star player that wants a new contract, and he's like, well, I don't know if he's worth it, because maybe, you know, maybe he's going to miss 6 games like he did last season. So I guess the question is, when or if does Jerry Jones ever figure out that he is the one in the way of the Cowboys succeeding?
He will never figure it out. This is him showing that he will never figure it out. In that comment, you hear him not understanding that there's other people that can hear what he's saying. It feels very much like the things you say inside are now just officially on the outside.
Yes. It went from inner monologue to just spewing out a stream of consciousness.
He has no inner monologue anymore. Somebody puts a microphone and he does not have the ability to stop things from just flooding out of his mouth.
Yeah.
This is the point in Jera's career where the people around him need to speak up. They need to go and talk to him and go, Jer, you can keep all of the positions, all of the titles you want. You're not allowed to speak in public anymore. This is everybody knows that if you pay somebody a lot of money, but when you're the guy that is paying that lot of money, of course you're thinking about it more. Nobody wants to hear that. We just talked about getting a fan base riled up and how Shohei Ohtani is a global star. Micah Parsons could be that star if he gets out of Dallas. I can't remember who it was. Terrell Smith or somebody for the Cowboys was saying that, you know, the expectations, we win a Super Bowl. Not in Dallas, you're not. Yeah. Not the way it's set up right now. Mm-hmm. You guys hired Brian Schottenheimer to be your head coach. I'm sorry, that does not inspire a lot of people. The highest paid quarterback is still Dak Prescott, and I don't have a whole lot of faith in him. This team is an absolute mess, and the fun thing is, if we wait long enough, Jerry will tell us why everything is an absolute mess. So.
Well, and the thing is that what Jerry loves about being the Dallas Cowboys owner is that he can be the most front-facing person in the organization. Yep. And Jerry Jones loves him some Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
He loves to talk about his Cowboys. He loves to talk about himself. He loves to talk about how his players make too much money. And this is one of those where they're in the same situation here, kind of like the Bengals are with Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
They both seem to have a history not wanting to pay their star players.
Sure, but Mike Brown isn't the GM or whatever the title or president of football operations or whatever Jera has given himself. That's the thing that's so dumb about it. I would say it's starting to go downhill for Jera, but it's been going downhill, and this is just the latest instance of
that. So basically both teams, they don't want to pay their star players, but they know they need to pay their star players. Yep. They wait too long to pay their star players, and they wait until the market has already been set and then have to pay their star players more than that when had they just done it a month or two sooner. They'd be saving a couple million dollars a year.
Yeah. And you look at some of the contracts that Matthew Stafford got paid a whole lot of money to play quarterback. I think he's getting paid. I know he's now getting played less than TJ Watt.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there's a couple other, Jamar Chase, I think he's getting paid more. So he's not even in that stratosphere of, higher paid other than quarterbacks. He's making $40 million. There's a couple guys making more than that. So the earlier you sign them, the quicker it will be a better deal for you. It's just the way it goes. I'm sorry the NFL is making so much money, Jerry, that they have to pay these players that much to get them out there. I'm sorry to hear that.
And Mike Brown, he was making similar comments about not wanting to.
It's just You need good players to have a good football team. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of that.
You need good ownership to have a good football team too.
Well, but that's the thing that is so frustrating is the Bengals have become good despite all of that.
I know.
That's terrible.
Fell ass backwards into it.
All right. We're gonna put a bow on things. But before we do, I need to tell you that you have a chance to win all this week on this show. We are giving away advanced screening passes for The Naked Gun. This will be on July 28th at the Regal Lloyd Center. So listen today through Friday, and I'll give you the code word. Here's what you want to do. 503-864 6326 is our number to win the tickets. What I want you to do is text the word naked to that number, 503-864-6FAN. And that's how you enter to win. These tickets are courtesy of Paramount Pictures. All the rules are at 1051thefan.com. All right. Winners will be selected and you'll be informed on that. So go ahead and hopefully that movie's great. Even if it's not, it's free tickets. What else do you want? We'll get one more for the road. We do it next. This is weird. It's the Fan Happy Hour on 105.1 The Fan.
Relax, hot shots.
Welcome back to the Fan Happy Hour. We're about to wrap things up.
Maybe you guys like what I have so far?
Wicked woman, cool crimson and mysteries. You got a cool spell on me.
Let's grab one more for the road.
Come on, everybody. Everything's...
Here's Luke Anderson.
All right, welcome back in. It is the first ever Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. Thank you all for joining along. One of the things about doing a one-man show here, it's a little hard to keep an eye on comments. Mr. Rust, what are the people saying on the text, on the YouTube chat? Anything good out there?
Well, here's one that'll butter your biscuit a little bit. Yeah, Luke, you are a treasure. I'm glad they got a spot for you daily. Let's go.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Listen, I appreciate that. What else we got there?
PJ or P1RJ, happy hour at 2 o'clock. Count me in. Cheers.
Yeah.
Did I just hear someone say rocket surgery? Yes, you did. It's a bit. It's called a joke.
Love rocket
surgery.
I'm a
dad. I do dad jokes. That's my thing.
You know what? One of my favorite realizations when I became a dad is realizing that dad jokes aren't supposed to be funny. They're supposed to piss off
your supposed
kids.
To be groaners. Yes.
No, not groaners. Like when you say it the first time and your daughter goes,
yeah, exactly.
And then you say it the third time, she goes, stop doing that. Yeah. That's what they're for.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like I thought that dad jokes were like, oh, they're kind of funny, but they're clean. No, they are just to piss off your children.
Exactly. Jerry Jones sounding more and more like Al Davis with every passing weird
presser. Amen. That is the that was in my head. I just didn't say it. Thank you for saying it.
Yes. Are the weekend shows still on the program? The Sinner and the Saint?
Sinner and Saint is done. Sinner and Saint is retired. We will have Will Darkins on with us on Friday. We also may have a special Sinner and Saint guest in the 1 o'clock hour. So the bonus hour will be a farewell to the Sinner and the Saint. Sports Sunday is moving to Saturdays.
Yes, and that'll be Joe and Rashad.
That'll be Joe and Rashad, which is a great listen. If you had your Saturday routine down, you will not miss a beat. Those guys are great. The Hot Corner is retired. Patrick Harris and Joe Fish did their final show last week. And the recruiting show with Andrew Nimick will stay on. So there's your shoulder program. I think I got it all.
Yeah, I think so. And then I don't know, I don't know if these are directed at you and me or me or what, but there is a lot of people just texting in naked. So who do they
probably
want
just want to see us naked? That makes sense.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah. No.
I am a sexy beast. Yes.
Well, you know what? As the new show on the station, if we're already the one that everybody wants to see naked. I'm very happy about that. Yeah. So, you know what? Let's do it. Let's do it. All right. So, this segment, we're going to go this direction. I'm going to tell a quick story. And then what I want you guys to do as listeners is send in your version of the story. What we'll try to do is start tomorrow's show with it. So, I have to tell this. I'm very embarrassed about it, but I figure I have to be honest with the new audience. My daughters last weekend had their first lacrosse tournament that they were invited to. So not just a single game. They went out there. And I always told myself I would not be that yelling, screaming dad that the referees turn around and yell at.
Yes. How long did that last?
One game. One game. I tried my best. Here's the scenario. Let me tell you what happened. Okay, so my daughters played first and second grade lacrosse in the spring. They get invited to play up to the third grade level.
Ooh.
They did not play positions in second grade. In third and fourth grade, they have positions. They can't cross the center line. I vaguely know the rules. I never played lacrosse. They got recruited to this team. Mm-hmm. Their elementary school teacher, one of the elementary school teachers where they go to school, is one of the high school coaches. They recruited the girls. They're playing, and they're having a blast. And they're doing well enough. They get invited to play up with the older girls. They don't know where to go on the field, so I'm trying to direct them the best that I can. And let's be honest, I'm just watching my kids. I think everybody does this. You're just watching your kids. So I'm watching my daughters, and I have twin 8-year-old daughters. They're trying to figure out where they need to be on the field, doing my best to help them. And one of my daughters goes to get the ball, uh-huh. and they're playing an Oregon select team. So we live in Southwest Washington. They're playing an Oregon select team, and one of my daughters is going for the ball. And so I'm yelling for her, and I'm very excited because, you know, it's a big boost for her ego, and I'm very excited about it. While she's going for the ball and battling one of these elite lacrosse players that's at least 9 years old, uh-huh. going after it, another ball is on the field, and the girl runs behind my daughter and scores it in the net.
Wait, what?
And the referee calls it a goal.
Wait, what?
That's what I said. So then, as a concerned citizen mm-hmm. and a father, I start yelling, there's two balls on the field!
There's only supposed to be two balls in my pants, not on the field.
Well, I didn't do that. It's a child's game, yeah. Mr. Rust. Huh. I'm just trying. I go, I can't. That can't be a goal. There's two balls on the field. And so I'm yelling this, trying to get the girl's attention. She turns around, and it's a teenage referee. She's probably like a high school player or whatever. She turns around and gives me a thumbs up. And I go, they just counted the goal. And because they flip the scoreboard over with a little hand flip. Uh-huh. So I'm yelling. I go, they just had the goal. I yelled enough that this lovely gal who's refereeing the game, probably getting paid a pittance.
Probably just, like $10 for the game.
If that. Yeah. And she's spending, it's 96 degrees for her too.
Oh, sweet.
And
yeah.
she's spending her whole weekend there. Mm-hmm. She's doing, honestly, she's doing a phenomenal job. It was actually the second game. So I made it one game, okay. but I didn't get it. She was doing a much better job than the other referee. And she looks at me and she does, like, I probably went just ghost white. She turns to me and goes, they're only 10. And my brain, I go, mine are only 8.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, I should probably shut up. And so I turned into that dad. It took me exactly 2 games of the first tournament that I played in. So my question to all of you listeners out there that are dads, that are moms, that are parents, that had parents like this, send us your best stories of being a terrible fan or having a terrible fan experience or whatever at a game. But it took me exactly 2 games of the first tournament that I ever went to. And we got that. So send them however you want, social media, text, YouTube chat. We'll pull those and we'll tell some of those stories to start tomorrow's show. The other thing that happened was my wife, she goes, next game, I'm going to have to sit on the other side of you because I was yelling so much. And I didn't know how to take this because I've coached basketball for the girls and I played basketball. So I like the rules are simple or whatever. So I get it. And I was able to kind of go with the flow with basketball and I knew all of the kids' names mm-hmm. and I was able to be like, hey, so-and-so do this or whatever. So I didn't single out my children. And then I actually helped a little bit coaching. Nice thing about having the Saturday show gone is now I can probably actually help coach lacrosse.
Yes.
But I helped with a lot of the practice. I knew all the girls' names for the few games that I got to go to during the second grade season. I knew everybody's name so I could tell everybody, like, hey, great job.
Yes.
Whatever your name is.
Exactly.
Like one of the Emilys.
Yes.
Great job. And so I could do all of that. But going to a game where I only knew my kids, that was the other thing that made me feel worse, is the only 2 kids I could yell at because I was slowly picking up the other kids' names through osmosis and hearing other people do it.
Right.
Oh, man. It took me 2 games, and I immediately turned into that worst dad. Have you had any of those moments? You're a girl dad as well.
The closest, one of these past seasons, my older daughter, she's 7th grade. They played on a team where I think they didn't have a ton of interest between 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So
what were they playing?
Soccer.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're on this team, there was a combination of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. She was right smack dab in the middle. And I have tried to make it a point to not be the yeller.
Yeah.
I'm out there. And
right?
Most of the time, if I am speaking up, it's, hey, great ball, nice pass, you know, good ball.
Yeah.
Nice try, nice shot, blah, blah, blah.
I went to a game.
Keeper.
Yeah, my brother invited me to one of his daughter's soccer games because a guy that I played high school football with was the coach. And I just listened to my brother this whole time. And this is the best imitation I could do of my brother. Go! 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 For 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's all he did. Didn't say where to go. Right. Didn't say like which direction or where the ball was.
Yep.
Go! And then every once in a while would throw in his daughter's name. And then just go! Go!
Yeah.
Go. That was it. So yeah. I was like, I don't want... It turns out I'm that guy.
The closest I got was going, you know, basically along the lines of, so the elbows in the back are okay now? Is that what we're doing?
You would, of course, go sarcastic.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, this is the way that we're going to play this game now.
Exactly.
No, there's just me out there. There's just no rules.
Yes. What's the deal with Grape Nuts?
Yes. I knew you would go Seinfeld. That is perfectly appropriate. So I very much appreciate that is who you ended up. Well, hey. Was it the perfect show, Mr. Russ? I don't know that it was, but you and I are going to figure out this cadence. I'm very glad to have you on as a producer as we get better at this. It will sound smoother, but I don't know if it'll be as much fun. It was a blast having you on, so I appreciate all the work that you've put in
absolutely
to get the first show going.
First
thank
show,
you.
We're grading on a curve. I'll give us an A-.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to Dusty and Ryan and everybody putting in all the work and to get us on The Fan. Hey, first time saying it. Prime time is next. Keep it right here on 105.1 The Fan. On the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.